Yes, Master.
Meanwhile, I'm hopeful that Supreme Commander Stantors will provide us with substantive backup. Where the Mandalorians are concerned, he's unlikely to take any chances. But it will undoubtedly be a military mission, not Jedi. I'll suggest rendezvousing at Honiger. Send coordinates to me there once you have them, and we'll get on our way. Shigar's mind reeled at the logistic efforts unfolding in response to his actions.
Yes, Master.
The Force is with you, Shigar. The line crackled and died.
Shigar slumped momentarily into the seat, and then went to find somewhere quiet to meditate. Lorin hadn't intended to eavesdrop on Shigar's conversation with his master, but the Auriga fire was too small to allow anyone actual privacy. Where she and Ula sat facing each other was less than 5 meters away from Shigar, and the metal-lined corridors carried every sound. Ula spoke softly so as not to disturb him, and it was easy for Lorin to phase the envoy out. She found it much harder, though, to ignore the mess the Sith wretch had made of her hand. Just getting the glove off had been difficult. No painkillers existed sufficient to shield her entirely from the sensation of blended flesh and plastoid tearing apart. The Sith's lightsaber had melted both into a horrific seal, one that had stopped her from losing too much blood, but would have to be removed before the wound could properly heal. The medkit's initial scan revealed a mess of truncated bones and blood vessels beneath. It could only deal with them once the wound was cleared. That job fell to Ula, who wielded a sonic scalpel with more surety than she had expected. Ula talked her through the procedure in an attempt to reassure both of them, most likely. She gritted her teeth, unable to look away, and at the same time tried to focus her mind on something else.
What are your plans now, Shigar? Are you returning Envoy V and your friend, Coruscant?
That had to be Shigar's master, the legendary Satil Shan. Lorin wished she could see her image. She spoke with such surety and confidence, and Shigar responded to both in ways he probably wasn't even aware of, simultaneously trusting and rebelling. It was hard to imagine him in a junior role to anyone.
Maybe the one who doesn't see is you, Shigar.
There, said Ula, gingerly lifting the glove from her brutalized flesh. It came off in 3 pieces. He had resealed the major blood vessels with a laser cauterizer and applied a bone stabilizer compound. I think that's good enough to put in the medkit now. I'll dig around through the ship's cupboards later and see if I can find a prosthetic to tide you over until we get home. She didn't want to look at the ruins of her hand, but she had to. The cut ran neatly across all her metacarpals, leaving her without even a single finger stump. The pain was hazy and indistinct now, but very present. Her nerves were obviously still working. That was a good thing, she reminded herself, if she was ever to have a full prosthetic attached. The medkit swallowed what was left of her hand up to the wrist and hummed patiently to itself.
The Force is with you, Shigar.
Lorin heard him sigh, and then get up to move elsewhere in the ship. His footsteps thudded heavily, as though he were bearing a heavy weight. Doors opened and closed, sometimes prompted by a thump or two. Finally, he stopped. A door closed and sealed. Apart from the combined hum of life support and a dozen other machines, the ship was silent.
I said I have several carry bags full of brand new clothes.